Welcome to Kol Jeshurun, a podcast from Temple B'nai Jeshurun, a vibrant and flourishing Reformed Jewish community in Short Hills, New Jersey. Welcome, I am Rabbi Matthew Gewirtz. Kol Jeshurun is where you can come to engage with teachings of relevant wisdom in music. You will hear from our clergy, staff, and guest speakers who will help bring meaning into a world that so badly needs it. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at tbj.org. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. I guess to make this simple, our scholars in residence this weekend, I would argue, represent Israeli royalty, not because they live in the president's house on Rehov HaNasiy, but in our circles, in the Reform movement in Israel, they are considered giants. Tomorrow morning, you will hear from Dr. Ilan Ezrahi, who's going to be teaching our Torah study, a Jerusalem-based Jewish peoplehood educator and scholar, and he's actually the author of something that many in this room have studied. He is the author of one of the adult Melton study courses that we intensively went through, the Jewish state examining the Jewish identities of Israelis. We started that course right before October 7th of 2023, and it proved to be something that really helped guide our way. Ilan, who I have not known as well as Nami for reasons that will become apparent, happened to be, I was a very close friend of mine, said, do you want to do a tour of the new Israeli National Library? And I was like, not really. But, of course, I did the right thing and went. And it turns out that Ilan, with his spare time, is one of the tour guides there. There was only one available in Hebrew. So the great accomplishment for me is I got Ilan about 65 to 70% of it, which wasn't bad. But then he goes on to tell the group, I want to mention that the very famous rabbi from the most important synagogue in the state of New Jersey, and everyone turned around and looked at me. He embarrassed me, but his soul lit up. And so it made us even more excited to welcome you tomorrow morning. So come to Torah study. He is one of the real quintessential teachers out there. He's married to Rabbi Nama Kelman, whose accent will sound very different than the Sabra I just described. She's as much Upper West Side as I am. She grew up a few blocks from where I did. And I'll ask her where she went to high school. I never asked, where did you go to high school? She went to Calhoun. She went to a fancier school than I went to, I have to say. Nama is really as important as I described before. I went to rabbinic school for the first year in Jerusalem in 1992 and 93, and there was a lot of hoopla because someone named Nama Kelman was about to be ordained the first female rabbi ever in the state of Israel. And I got to be there for it. It was, you know, part of, and I had no idea even really what it meant at that point. And Nama doesn't know this, but either the following Friday or the Friday after that, every single, I'm not sure if this still happens, but every Friday, they have a Parshat HaShavua television show where rabbis will come together and everyone on set, except for one, has payas and a black hat, a long beard, and Nama Kelman, totally holding her own as we're cheering her on, nerdy rabbinic students, cheering her on to be able to hold her own with those Orthodox rabbis next to her. Nami more than holds her own on many different levels for lots of different reasons. She just retired a couple of years back being the dean of the Hebrew Union College in the Jerusalem campus. And I will say over the years, we've had lots of very important connections, which have made Ilan and Nama very, very important to me, mentors to me, really role models, so much of what it means to have conviction for being a Jew, for ethics and values that are the most important, but probably as important, if not most important to me, having the deepest of spirits of souls that you can encounter. It's not just my personal connection. Many of us here have personal connections to Rabbi Ellenson. Nam and Ilan are family, to Hannah and her siblings, to Rabbi Jackie Ellenson, and of course, her husband, their dad, David Ellenson, Olive Shalom, really family indeed. So this is not just scholars and Reddit, it's not just royalty, but our very dear friends and important teachers, in this case, Rabbi Nama Kelman.
God, I remember that show. I think I felt sitting there like I was the bearded lady, you know, from the circus. They didn't know what to do with me at all. I won't embarrass all your clergy, who I've known for so long. I'll just say I'm getting so much nachas from all of you. And I dedicate my sermon to you for your leadership, ever changing, ever evolving, ever renewing. So Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moses received the Torah from God at Sinai. This is how the rabbinic work, Pirkei Avot, Ethics of the Fathers, sometime in the first century, opens. Moses transmitted it to Joshua, Joshua to the elders to the prophets to the members of the great assembly. Hem amru shlosha dvarim, they said three things. Be cautious, mitunim, moderate in rendering a decision, raise many students, and build a fence to protect the Torah. We could just focus on this Mishnah, who is and who is not on the list of receiving and disseminating the Torah. Clearly, these first century rabbis offer their Torah, one after another, directly from Sinai, as Pirkei Avot goes on. The opening directive, be careful when it comes to rulings, but also nurture the next generation when it comes to rulings, and while you protect the core of Torah. Many wonderful ideas and values flow from one scholar to the next, many eternal and some quite dated, especially regarding women. My personal favorite, according to our beloved Hillel, more wives means more witchcraft. But I read Pirkei Avot as an invitation to study Torah, review and renew, as Ben Bagbag says in chapter 5, Hafochba v'hafochba dekulaba. Turn it over and over. It's all there in Torah as we renew and reinterpret. Centuries later, an Israeli woman rabbi reinterprets the opening of Pirkei Avot, and this is what Rabbi Rinat Tzfania suggests with her opening. Miriam received the Torah at Sinai and passed it to the daughters of Slavchad, and the daughters of Slavchad to Devorah, the judge, and Devorah to Ruth, and Ruth to the rare Talmud scholar mentioned, Bruria. They said three things. Let your voices be heard. Raise up many students and interpret the Torah. Asu drash la Torah. Finally, in the 20th and 21st century, women can interpret the Torah. In 1968, Friday night, Parshat Yitro, I was not called to the Torah. No. Bat mitzvah then meant reciting the blessings for the Haftorah, reciting the Haftorah, and sitting down. My father, a leading rabbi in the conservative movement, Rabbi Wolf Kelman, executive director of the Rabbinical Assembly, wanted to celebrate my bat mitzvah, as was the custom then, but give it a little more oomph. So he thought, who should address me? Who should bless me? So he asked his teacher, Abraham Joshua Heschel, to speak, as well as our neighbor, the first woman in Jewish history to have a bat mitzvah, Judith Kaplan Eisenstein. Bob Dylan tells me not to name drop, but what can I do? I wish I could remember what they said. Only years later did I realize the significance. So much so that when my daughter was bat mitzvah, a different parsha, in 1995, not only was she called to the Torah and read from the Torah and the Haftorah, I was able to get a letter from Judith Kaplan Eisenstein to be read that morning. My father wanted my bat mitzvah to make a statement. I was no less important than my older brother. One big difference was that when it was over, an important conservative rabbi patted me on the head and said, "Well, that was very nice, but this is the first and last time you will ever do something like this." So thankfully, not only was he wrong, but every bat mitzvah, and tomorrow's bat mitzvah for me, is sweet revenge. Thank you. Look what's happened from 1922 to 1968 to 1995 to today for Jewish women. How much has changed for the Jewish world? I'd like to say the two greatest revolutions of the 20th century for Jews were Zionism and feminism. In the 21st century, they are both under serious attack and challenge. What would Mordechai Kaplan make of the Jewish state today? What would Heschel say about the current state of civil rights? Yet both have been transformative for Jewish life, Judaism, and the Jewish people. Women clergy have renewed and innovated rituals. Women's commentaries changed the rabbinate. Can we still agree on that? And what about the Jewish state? Also, a miracle in so many ways with the revival of Hebrew language and culture, the absorption of tens of thousands of Jewish immigrants over decades and refugees, creation of a strong economy, high tech, agricultural innovation, I could go on. And I have mentioned mostly safe consensus matters. We celebrate so much about Israel, but are also so distressed about the current state of affairs, the growing extremism, the growing polarization, the proposing judicial reform, and those proposing judicial reform and those opposing. And yes, we Israelis are living with growing threats to our democracy, while at the same time living with real existential threats. So why were the Ten Commandments given in the wilderness and not in Eretz Yisrael, not in the land of Israel? Because in the wilderness belongs to everyone, said the rabbis. In the land of Israel, divided among tribes, had God given it in one particular tribal area, you can imagine the rivalry and disunity. So the Torah is given in the wilderness. And our sages believe that no one tribe should have a monopoly on Torah or truth. There are many, many voices. Our greatest challenge is living with competing voices. Poet laureate of Israel, Yehuda Amichai, writes in his seminal final work, Patuach Sagur Patuach, Avi haya Elohim velo yada, hu natan li et aseret hadibrot. My father was God and didn't know. He gave me the Ten Commandments, not in thunder, and not in anger, not in fire, and not in a cloud, but gently and with love. He added caresses and tender words, would you, and please, and chanted, remember and keep, shamor v'zachor, with the same tune, and he pleaded and wept quietly between one commandment and the next. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, thou shalt not in vain, not to bear witness. And he hugged me tight and whispered in my ear, thou shalt not steal, shalt not commit adultery, shalt not kill. And he lay the palms of his wide open hands on my head with the Yom Kippur blessing, honor, love, that thy days may be long on this earth. And the voice of my father, white as his hair, then he turned to me, his face to me one last time. On the day he died in my arms, he said, I would like to add two more commandments. The 11th commandment, thou shalt not change. And the 12th commandment, you shall change. You will change. We must change. We must also hold on to some Torah that should not change. The 10 commandments are reminders of our shared humanity. They are eternal and universal. They must be preserved, but there are Torah traditions that we must reinterpret so the Torah remains a living Torah. I want to thank this wonderful congregation for your great support and love of Israel, for the Israel that represents your values, a Jewish and democratic Israel. Rabbi Tzfania is just one example of the over 140 graduates of Hebrew Union College's Israeli program. They are the change agents, our Israeli graduates who have founded and served over 54 congregations, run NGOs to promote pluralism, equality, write new prayer books, and have totally transformed the cycle of life cycle rituals for Israelis, particularly bat mitzvah and weddings, even funerals and shivas. Our Israeli rabbis have broken the monopoly of official Israeli rabbinate. And in this work of over four decades, we have challenged and we have brought along even Orthodox feminists and secular Israelis who embrace our innovations. And more recently, if there is anything that has given me hope in the past 3 years of turmoil for so much of Israeli society, beginning with the protest movement to ensure democracy, then the pivot of civil society that swung into action on October 7, 2023, to supply relief and support and aid for evacuees, for the IDF, and no less important, spiritual and religious sustenance as weeks went on through funerals, shivas, and almost 2 years of gathering for hostages and their families, and thank God they are all home. We are broken and we are tired, but relieved
and resolved. We played an important role keeping the faith and holding on to hope in our Reformed congregations, at rallies, with families. And you, too, have faced terrible challenges for your safety and sense of security as Jews, as Zionists, families torn, generations arguing. We must hold up the bridge that connects us as we aspire to uphold the highest ethical values. We have done so in the past, and today we stand at a critical juncture where we need to press restart together. A very wonderful Orthodox rabbi wrote days after October 7th, and his name is Elchanan Nir. He wrote, "Achshav kemo avir l'neshima, anachnu tzrichim Torah chadasha." Now, like air to breathe, we need a new Torah. Now, gasping for air with choking throats, we need a new Mishnah and a new Gemara. We need a new Kabbalah, and inside all the brokenness and the salt and the desolation, now a new Hasidism, a new Zionism, a new Rav Kook and Brenner and Leah Goldberg and Chana Senesh, a new art, a new poetry, a new literature, a new cinema, and new old worlds, a new ancient souls, a new love out of our terrible weeping. For we were all washed away in the rivers of Re'im and Be'erim, the kibbutzim along the Gaza border. We have no mountain within us, nor other tablets, and no Moses, and no strength. And now everything is in our hands. 2 years later, and more recently, our most recent graduate rewrote this new Torah. And she asks, and now, like fresh air, like air to breathe, we need a new faith. We need a new rabbinate. We need a rabbinate that will take the broken tablets. And we need to feel our loss and grieve. And we need to write stories not about sacrifice. We need a divinity that is renewed and renewing, a safe God, that will help us regain our calm, our focus, and gives us comfort. A divinity, a God, that will be angry only when one raises the staff, and also be able to love and give compassion to the weak, to the vulnerable. A time to write about childbirth, about labor, about families, to be partners in the world of creation, writes Rabbi Adi, to write about a divinity, an Elohut, that is compassion and sustaining. And it is in our hands. So I want to say to you tonight that it is literally in our hands as Jews to ignore the headlines or pay less attention and to remember our solid, basic, unending, never-ending truths like the Ten Commandments, but know that we la'fochba, that it will only be a living Torah if we reinterpret and we remind ourselves what we share, not just what keeps us apart. And the new Mishnah that I included about Miriam being handed the Torah, has already entered the new Sidur of the Israeli Reform Movement, as we have rewritten it a number of years ago with many of the innovations that started in Mishkan Tefillah. And I'd like to gift this to your synagogue, Hebrew and English, and share the songs, the PU team, and this is what we stand on together, our holy Torah and our world of prayers and dreams. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Kol Jeshurun. If you would like to learn more, visit our website at tbj.org and follow us on social media for updates on all our upcoming opportunities for engagement. We hope to see you soon.